Thank you. You may be seated. It is good to see those visiting with us this morning. We welcome you to our service. Glad the Lord brought you our way. And Sister Janet, I believe, has got two grandsons with her. She's extra happy this morning. Good to see these young fellers. That leads me to a question. Are you happy this morning? That's an interesting question. Are you happy this morning? I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. We've been going through the Beatitudes, and I believe there are eight Beatitudes that we're looking at. We're looking at the very last one. It's found in verse 10. And then what we have following verse 10, of course, is verse 11 and 12. But verses 11 and 12, I believe, elaborate on verse 10. What we see in these Beatitudes, they always start with the word blessed. Now, the word blessed can, I've given you the Greek word Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, is makarios. And that Greek word makarios, blessed, can also mean happy. So here, as we read these Beatitudes, that's why I asked you, are you happy this morning? Here are characteristics of every child of God. If you're a child of God, you are blessed indeed. That means you are happy, or you should be happy. This term blessed appears probably more in the book of Psalms than any other place in the Word of God. It's found at least 26 different times in the book of Psalms, and it speaks of those who are the recipients of God's grace. If you are a recipient of God's grace, you are blessed. That means you are happy. You are happy, and let me tell you something, that happiness no man can take away. The Word of God tells us over in Psalm 144, how blessed are the people whose God is Lord or Yahweh. Blessings come from God. We see in these Beatitudes, starting in verse 3 all the way down to verse 10, we see that each one of these blessings, they come from God. And something else we see, and we've not pondered this yet, but I want to go over it very quickly, is the one who embodies all these blessings are our Lord Jesus Christ. We look at Him, and He embodies the Beatitudes. The Word of God says in verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When it talks about being poor in spirit, you think about our Lord Jesus Christ. Though He were rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might be made rich. We read in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ that He was constantly attacked throughout His life by evil. And as He was attacked time and time again, and ultimately to His death, He was ever trusting the Father. He trusted the Father for direction. He trusted Him for strength and deliverance. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Our Lord Jesus Christ had no sin of His own, but truly He mourned for the sin of others. He mourned over their blindness. And you know what? There is much blindness when it comes to spiritual things today. Our Lord mourned over the hardness of the heart. Our Lord mourned over the stubbornness of man in desiring His own will and His own way. And He mourned over those who were in bondage to sin. You know what? Times have not changed in that sense. Man is still blind to spiritual truths. Man has still got a hardened heart. And he needs to be born again. He needs a heart of flesh whereby he can serve the Lord God. And as that life is surrendered to the Lord, it's surrendered to the will of the Lord. There is no longer the stubbornness in wanting his own will and his own way. No longer in bondage to sin, chained to sin. But there is a love for the Lord Jesus Christ that excels all other loves in this life. Blessed are those that are meek, for they shall inherit the earth. our Lord Jesus Christ was called. He called himself in Matthew chapter 11, meek and lowly of heart. As he lived his life upon this earth, he dealt gently with those that were in sin, those that were weak. He was never quarrelsome, but he was meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. This hungering and thirsting after righteousness, I believe, is a fulfillment of what the psalmist said in Psalm 40, I delight to do thy will, O God. It tells us over in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10 and down in verse 7, it says, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. The Son delighted to do the Father's will, and he completed the will of the Father. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. We see our Lord Jesus Christ ever consistently throughout his life reaching out to those who are helpless and those who are needy. Here are those who mourn because of their sin. Here are those who are poor and they are spiritually impoverished. They have nothing to give to God, therefore they mourn. They weep over their sin. And it is the Lord himself who comforts them. It says, blessed are the pure in heart. Our Lord Jesus Christ was pure in heart, the purest of hearts. As we looked at that beatitude, we looked at how that meant the singleness of heart and singly serving the Lord. That was his supreme desire and supreme goal. He delighted to do the will of the Father. Blessed are the peacemakers, which we looked at last Sunday. When we think about the peacemakers and we look at Jesus Christ embodying the peacemaker, he alone is the one who atones for our sins. He alone is the one who reconciles us to God, for he is our peace. While we were at enmity with God, Christ reconciled us unto God by his great sacrifice upon that cross. As his life progressed upon this earth, what we see in our Lord Jesus Christ's life, he became increasingly persecuted for righteousness' sake. And it culminated into the death of our Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. And even while he was dying upon the cross, they mocked him, they spat upon him, they cursed him. And his response was very simply, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. As we see our Lord Jesus Christ embody these beatitudes are for every believer or every child of God. Followers of Jesus Christ, those who put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's kind of ironic because what these Beatitudes teach us is that those who embody this, as our Lord did, they are both satisfied and dissatisfied. They rejoice and yet they grieve. They have nothing, but yet they possess everything. Those who have these characteristics that are found in these Beatitudes, they have a desire for righteousness to reign. They desire to see good reign over evil. The Word of God tells us in verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for they shall be called the children of God. Or blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The previous beatitude, the peacemakers are blessed, for they are the children of God. I find it quite ironic that following the peacemakers that are blessed, blessed are the persecuted. In other words, if you're going to be a peacemaker, you're going to be persecuted, is what the Word of God is telling us. This last beatitude is not like the other beatitudes because it's a result of what's actually gone before. It consummates all the other beatitudes. And because you live this life, what happens, you are going to be persecuted, is what the Word of God tells us. In other words, because you are a child of God, expect persecution in this life. Are these characteristics in you? It is a very serious passage of Scripture. Have you come to a point in your life where you are poor in spirit? You realize there is nothing in your hand that you can bring, nothing in your life that you can give that would be pleasing to God. It is because of your sinfulness and your brokenness, and because of all the sinfulness around you, you are separated from God. And you deserve the wrath of God because of your sinfulness. Therefore, because you are poor in spirit, the Word of God says, yours is the kingdom of heaven. Because you are poor in spirit, you mourn over your sins. And you realize it's your sin. Because of your sin, it's why Christ died upon that cross, which produces a meekness, a gentleness, a tenderness toward others. Because what you see, if God had not intervened in your life, as you look at the worst of sinners, if not for the grace of God, there goes you. Therefore, you have mercy upon those. You start hungering and thirsting for the righteousness of God, and you desire to know more and more about Him. There's a singleness in your heart, a desire to serve Him. And what that produces is you become a peacemaker. All of these attributes that we're reading about that are in a child of God's life, you cannot manufacture them. You cannot self-produce these things. In other words, the Word of God tells us that we are dead in our trespasses and sins, and because of our sinfulness, we are broken. We cannot fix ourselves. We are poor in spirit. We cannot make ourselves spiritually rich. Because we're dead in our trespasses and sins, we cannot make ourselves alive again. You cannot birth yourself. There is no such term. But you must be born again. And the only way one can be born again is by seeing their spiritual wickedness and how you're separated from God and looking by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ that He died upon that cross for your sins. And as you by faith look to Him, you weep because of your sinfulness. It's because of your sin that He was upon that cross. It was because of your sin that He suffered, bled, and died, was buried. But it's because of who He is, He rose again. He had the power to lay down His life and He had the power to take it back up again. And you know what? He ever lives because He's risen again. He's conquered death. He's conquered sin. Because He lives. You cannot manufacture these things. You cannot be a peacemaker if you know not the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot fulfill these things unless you've been born again. This promise that's given in verse 10, it says, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." It repeats the promise that we find in the very first beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What Jesus is doing as He is starting the Sermon on the Mount, He is emphasizing the importance of being in the kingdom of heaven. What is the kingdom of heaven? It's the rule and reign of God. It's the power of Christ abiding in our lives. It's the person who has surrendered their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he rules and reigns in their heart, and they desire to live for him. Blessed are the peacemakers. This shows you, whenever the Word of God repeats something, it's emphasizing what it's repeating. So this shows you the importance of being a part of the kingdom of God. This blessing we have is greater than any other blessing. We are in God's kingdom because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Because of what he's done, we have been born into the kingdom of God. Because we're in the kingdom of God, he dwells with us. He has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. He is an ever-present help in time of trouble. I ask you, are you happy this morning? If you're a child of God, you're blessed and you're happy. We are in the kingdom of God. Christ is our brother. But what does this verse mean in verse 10? When we read the Word of God and it says, we are persecuted for righteousness' sake. When you think about these words, are you being persecuted for righteousness' sake? What does it mean to be persecuted for righteousness' sake? There's a lot of people who believe they are persecuted for righteousness' sake. But what does that mean? There are many in our day and time that are being punished for politics. If you have not read, there have been over 1,200 charged for the January 6th entering into a federal building. Didn't do any violence, the majority. Many were charged with misdemeanors, and many are still in jail because of a misdemeanor after 3 years. There's injustice that's been done. It matters not whether you're a Democrat or a Republican. I don't like to call myself either one. I'm a child of God. I'm a Christian. This world is not my home. There are many that are in the Republican administration that have been charged with crimes. 14 in Georgia, and 20 back, now there's 11 more recently in 2021. Former president been charged 91 times of felonies that has never been charged with anything in his life. What's the meaning of being persecuted for righteousness' sake? Let me tell you something. The politics does not fit in this scripture. You might not agree with me, and that's all right. But what does the Lord say? What is he saying here? I believe we need to get to the root of what the Word of God is saying. There is a lot of injustice in our land. There are those in power that are politicizing certain parts of the government against good people. Good, I say. There's none good, no, not one. I'm talking about good in comparison to everyday people. There are some people that are patriotic and done well, yet they're being punished for doing that. But that does not mean they're being persecuted for righteousness' sake. Believe me, I sympathize with those who are wrongfully punished. This passage of Scripture is not talking about you doing good and being punished for doing good. When it says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, it's not talking about those who make wrong choices and are getting punished because they made wrong choices. Let me tell you something, that's because of your own wrong choices. It's not talking about sinful choices. If you sin, there are consequences to sin. And it's not talking about unwise choices. Have you ever made a foolish choice in your life? Yes, you have. If you're old enough, you're old enough to admit it. If you're too young, you ain't got enough wisdom to admit it. We all make foolish choices. But if you suffer because of the foolishness of your choice, that is not suffering for righteousness' sake. There are times that Christians, because of their great zeal, have suffered because of righteousness doings. But you got to be careful here. Let me give you a case in point. Many years ago, I remember walking up to a door, going door to door, just trying to talk to people about the Lord. And I knocked on this one door. It was a duplex. This man come to the door and he was high as a kite. Matter of fact, I thought he was going to bump his head on the ceiling, standing at the door. As I got to talking to him about the Lord, he was getting a little defiant toward me. And I told him he was going to split hell wide open. Now this guy was high. And he was mad because I was telling him he was going to hell. I realized he was getting very agitated. And he wasn't in his right mind. And he was bigger than me. Now, my mama has not raised no fool. I knew I needed to back up. Now, you know what? I could have stood there and kept witnessing to the fella and given him the truth and gotten persecuted. But I don't believe that would have been persecuted for righteousness' sake because of me being overzealous, trying to prove a point. You understand what I'm saying? There's a fine line right there. And we can be foolish in the way we live, or we can be wise. So what's the meaning of this passage of Scripture? What is Jesus telling us in this Sermon on the Mount with this last beatitude? Is he saying, blessed or happier those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake? As I started out, remember I said, our Lord Jesus Christ embodies all these beatitudes. He literally fleshed this out. And if you're a child of God, these characteristics are in your life. Therefore, these characteristics are in all believers. If you're a child of God, you have realized your poorness of spirit, that you mourn. You're meek. You do hunger and thirst after righteousness. You are merciful. It's not an option. You have a singleness of heart to serve the Lord, and you are a peacemaker. It's not an option. You are a peacemaker. What this passage of Scripture is talking about, being persecuted for righteousness' sake, it means that you're living out the Beatitudes. You're living out a godly life. It very simply means that you're living Christ-like. Now let me tell you something. In our day and time, there are not a lot of people that are living Christ-like. Even in churches, there are a lot of people that do not live like our Lord Jesus Christ. And shame on us if we're not. But here it's talking about being persecuted for righteousness' sake. It's very simply being persecuted because you're living like the Lord Jesus Christ would be living His life. Let me give you a few passages of Scripture. Look over in John chapter 15. In John the 15th chapter, look down in verse 18, as our Lord is speaking. Our Lord says this in verse 18, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own." Hear what Jesus is saying. Does the world hate you or does the world love you? We all want to be loved. I can guarantee you that right now. Every one of us in here desire to be loved. But Jesus is telling us that the world would hate us. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Did you hear that? Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. There's a difference. The world either loves you or hates you. Now, we don't want to go out doing things to make the world hate us. That's not what we are talking about here. Jesus is very simply saying, if you live like he lived, the world's going to hate you. And that's how we ought to be living. Paul wrote Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. He says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus, they shall suffer persecution." The Apostle Paul knew that from personal experience. You can look at biblical characters in the Word of God and you can see how they were persecuted because they lived a righteous life. Look at Abel. The Word of God tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 that the sacrifice he offered was more righteous than Cain's. And what did Cain do? Cain killed Abel. Is that persecution? You betcha. Look at Joseph. Joseph was thrown into the pit. His brothers were ready to kill him. Sold him into slavery. Thrown into a jail. Was he persecuted? Time and time again, he was persecuted. Daniel thrown into the lion's den. Was he persecuted? Look in Hebrews chapter 11. Chapter 11 of Hebrews gives a list of those who suffered for righteousness' sake. It says down in verse 36, "And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yes, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment." In other words, they were put in chains. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder, cut in half. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, in mountains, in dens, in caves of the earth. These all having obtained a good report through faith. In other words, they were living a righteous life and they got persecuted by the world. The Word of God tells us, if you live godly, you're going to be persecuted. Look at the life of Stephen. Very simply, for preaching a sermon, he was stoned to death. The Apostle Paul, he was whipped, he was beaten, he was shipwrecked. He was amongst robbers and thieves. Got the whiplash, bukus at times. He was persecuted for what? Preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, just simply telling the truth of God's Word. You go back in the Dark Ages, and I can tell you what, from years 1200 on through 1600, there are countless numbers of martyrs who died under severe persecution. They died as martyrs because they took a stand for the truth of God's Word. You can read story after story. Ultimately, the one who is the supreme example is our Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God tells us in the book of Acts that he went about doing good. Went about healing people. He loved people. He cared for people. And what did this world do to him? They crucified him. If they did that to our Lord, you know what? You can expect persecution in your life. Now, why do the righteous draw persecution? You ever thought about that? Why does the Word of God tell us here in this verse of Scripture, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven"? Why does it say we're going to be persecuted for righteousness' sake? I think the answer is quite obvious. When you look to the Lord Jesus Christ, you see his life. He was holy, harmless, undefiled. Why did they persecute Christ? Let me tell you why. Because he was holy. You know what the Word of God tells me? That light exposes evil deeds. Now ponder with me that for a moment. Look over in the Gospel according to John chapter 3. In John chapter 3 and down in verse 19, Jesus said, as he's talking to Nicodemus, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into this world, and men love darkness rather than light." Why? Because their deeds or their works were evil. "For everyone that doeth evil hates the light." Why did they hate the Lord Jesus Christ? Because he was light. In him was no darkness at all. He was holy. He was pure. And what his life exposed in others was their wicked deeds. And as people saw their own wickedness, they hated him all the more. The light exposes the darkness. You ever been into a room? Maybe apartment, somebody's place. I ain't gonna say your house. And you turn on the light and all of a sudden you see roaches scamper everywhere. You ever seen that before? Why do the roaches scamper when you turn on the light? Because they hate the light. Because they know if I'm in the room, they're going to get squashed. I don't know if they really know that, but they're going to get squashed if I'm in the room. Men hate the light. Therefore, they do not come to the light. Jesus is the light of the world. Therefore, if you're a Christian, you know what the word Christian means? It means little Christ. That means you're like Christ. You're just like a little Christ. You're living the life like Christ would. If you are Christ-like, the Word of God says emphatically, you're going to suffer persecution. Why is that? Because your life, people will feel guilty around you. I must tell you, I've had very close family. They didn't want to be around me. You know why, they said? Because I'm always preaching to them. Not so. You know what it is? It's very simply because I try to live Christ-like. And they know their deeds are evil. And therefore, there's great conviction in their life, which it ought to be. My question to you this morning, is your light shining before men? Do people see your good works? Is there conviction? Or does the world just love you? The Word of God tells us over in the book of Philippians chapter 1 and In verse 29, it says, "For unto you is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake." And you know how we suffer for His sake? We suffer because we live like Him, because our lives are surrendered to Him. We live a righteous and godly life, therefore you will suffer persecution, is what the Word of God says. This statement that Jesus made is a very defining statement of who a child of God is. If the world loves you, that speaks volumes. The world hates you, that speaks also volumes. These Beatitudes, every one of them, as I said right at the beginning, you cannot manufacture this. You cannot make the world persecute you, nor would you want to if you're in your right mind. But if you're a child of God, the world will persecute you. You can expect it. You know what the best way to handle adversity is? To know the adversity's coming. And when you know that adversity's coming, you're more apt to take a stand for the truth. These characteristics, are they in your life? If not, I tell you, upon the authority of the Word of God, you must be born again. Born of the Spirit with life that comes from above. Not born of this earth. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a new birth. A second birth. A birth that gives you a new heart. A heart that's sensitive to sin and a love for the Savior. A heart that has a desire to know the Lord Jesus Christ. One that gives you a new nature. That desires to live for Him. It's because He has made a change in my life, it's henceforth unto Him my life is. It's all unto Him. I desire to love Him. You know why? Because He first loved me. When I was unlovable, He loved me. We have a generation coming up that knows not the love of Christ. Many of y'all saw the parade, the Kansas City Chiefs. You got two teenagers shooting guns in what's supposed to be a happy place, a celebration. At least one person lost their life, maybe another. Let me tell you, this world cannot give you happiness. We're looking in that in the book of Ecclesiastes on Sunday night. It's vanity of vanities. All is vanity as far as this world. This world can give you no hope. This world can only give you momentary pleasure, but that only passes in a season. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And He's the only way to the Father. And when you know Him as your Lord and Savior, you surrendered your life to Him, then you have purpose in living. Then you are blessed. Then you are the recipient of the grace of God in pouring out His blessings upon you. You know what? I'd much rather be blessed of God than blessed of this world. Do you know Him as your Lord? Have you surrendered your life to Him? We're going to give a hymn of invitation. And I pray that if you feel the need of Christ in your heart, if you'd come talk to Brother Josh up front, talk to me, talk to someone you know as a child of God. If you never publicly professed Him, if you're not serving Him, would you get right with Him? Because only as you're walking with Him are you blessed indeed. Let us stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, truly we see in this world vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Whether it be someone trying to lift themselves up, trying to be popular, trying to be powerful, trying to be sexy, trying to be whatever they're trying to be, Lord, it's all vanity of vanity. It's emptiness. We ask that you'd help us this Lord's day. That you'd reveal the sinfulness of selfishness in our lives, self-centeredness in our lives, the desire to be loved by the world, whatever it takes. Convict us of that sin. Help us to live Christ-like, that others may see you in us. And only truly then is life worth the living. And when we are persecuted by the world, we can say we are truly blessed. For ours is the kingdom of heaven. Oh, for that blessed assurance. Work in our hearts and lives to your honor and glory. For Christ's sake. Amen. We're going to sing, "Jesus, Draw Me Ever Nearer." Would you simply respond to the leading of the Spirit?